Yeah, read the story, because that's what happened. Yeah. So He leads us always to triumph, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. And all of us, I'm not saying this smartly, we just need to get over this and say this is real because it's in the Bible. Watch. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ. We're the hope of His manifested Son. We're the release of His anointing person and power. We are the body of Christ. Amen? Man! So, I'm done now. I'm not. I'm never done. I just stop. I'm serious. I know how to take off. I know how to fly. I never know how to land. I just stop. Jesus has never, I've never heard the control tower say, bring it in, son. I just haven't. I see the airport, the runway, I just keep. You say, don't you run out of fuel? Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. We know how to fly, baby. So I know you guys heard a lot. I shared a lot. That's my granddaughter, by the way. She did that for Christmas. She took my little cheapy Bible cover and she had laminated on there, best grandpa ever. And I'll have to tell you, she's right. I told Pastor Jim that I have an amazing heritage in my life. I have a grandfather whose dad was a pastor. My grandfather lived to 99 and a half. I was 48 when he passed. That's amazing when you're 48 and have a granddad on the earth. He was 6 months from 100. I said this at his graveside because I did his funeral. I did his funeral. I did my grandmother's funeral and I did my mother's funeral. And it was awesome. And I told the people and all my cousins started to cry because they realized it was true and some of them didn't think deep about it. My one cousin, you know, I don't preach. You shouldn't drink. You shouldn't smoke. I just don't preach that. I think our consciences and convictions tells us what we should do and shouldn't do. And we grow into them and we obey them. I know a lady that led a Bible study when she was first saved smoking a cigarette. That drives people crazy, man. And after a season of communion in her life, Holy Spirit came to her in prayer one day and said, you know, you don't need those anymore. And she said, you know, you're right. And God raised her up and she's got a ministry that she started that has helped thousands of people for 35, 40 years now. And she's teaching her Bible study for 9 months smoking a cigarette. It just sounds hilarious. But she had no conviction of that. She had no thought of that. Didn't mean where she came from, heroin in the streets, prostitutes, cigarettes, nothing. But one day, Holy Spirit grew her to the place where she got a second guess on it, and her conscience squeaked, and she said, okay. And she laid it down. Okay. I got so many stories. I keep going and going. I feel like I need to stop. I know some people don't want you to stop in the middle of a story. I'm going to stop. I gave you a lot this weekend. I poured out my heart and it was fun. No, I'm not asking you to clap, don't clap, don't nothing. I want you to run well. I want you to take these words to heart. I want you to go after intimacy with Jesus and relationship like no time in your life. Because your whole Christianity will flow through knowing Him, not trying to obey Him. There's not one person in this room that doesn't have the right to go into His presence to seek Him and grow in Him. The blood lets you go in. Once you go in, He'll clean things and sober things and build character. And things that you feel like should keep you from going in there will begin to die because you're with Him. Don't try to change yourself first. Go to Him. Share your heart, be with Him, receive His love, and ask Him to reveal Himself more and more, and begin to talk and fellowship with that wonderful person of Holy Spirit. We can live this way, guys. We can love the people around us, and we can be an example and a living epistle to men. I promise you, you don't have to fight. Thanks, Lord. I'm going to finish just a piece of that story. I don't have one memory. Don't any grandpa get condemned in here. I'm just showing you what's possible. There's not one time in 99 and a half years of my grandfather's life that he raised his voice at me or showed one tone of negativity towards me, not once. And don't think that I wouldn't have earned it if he was capable. He just didn't have that in him. Not one time did he express agitation towards me. And guess what it showed me? That no matter what anybody says, it's possible. It's possible to love you more than I love me. It's possible to love my granddaughter way more than I need her to be for my convenience or whatever. And even if she's being unruly, just scolding her, showing my displeasure isn't going to change her. Swallowing her up in love will bring the best out in her. So to this day, my 9-year-old granddaughter has no memory of grandpa being negative, frustrated, or scolding her. And she's going to have that when I'm 99. I'm telling you, I ain't joking. Because I learned it's possible. The word tells me it is. Our experience says it isn't. But my grandpa's life says, yeah, it is, Dan. So out of the mouths of two, every word's confirmed and established. Grandpas, don't get condemned. Get inspired. And if you feel like you've been the opposite of what I just said, lay a hold of that thing today. Deal with your heart and ask for mercy and grace. And start letting Jesus love through your life. You say, well, but they just get on my nerves. I'm talking about getting new nerves. Well, they just raise my hackles. I'm talking about getting plucked. Listen to me carefully. I stood at my grandfather's graveside and shared to the crowd the legacy of a man that never once put me down, showed anger or displeasure towards me in 99 years. And people wept, and my cousins started crying and crying because they realized it was true in their lives too. And they realized he was a very wonderful man. We all knew it, but when I said that, so my one cousin who has smoked her whole life, she's bawling, and she came up to me and she said, you know, when you said that about Grandpa, it's true. She said, and I just realized I respected him so much. She said, I knew he wouldn't even say anything mean to me if he saw me spoken, but I wouldn't dare let him see me because I didn't want to hurt his heart or make him think I was hurting me. So I made sure he never knew I was. She didn't even realize what she was doing until the funeral and when I said what I said, and it hit her and she's crying. That's powerful stuff, man. You want that at your funeral. You don't want to have the pastor come and lie. Because I won't. Will you? You want people to gather around. My mother was sick in a bed. I know that shocked some folks. It's the way it was. Tubes hanging out of her. I was changing her pants when I was a young man. I carried her to bed many nights as a teenager or a 20-year-old something. My mother died 2 years ago, bedridden for probably 12, 15 years. She had more tubes hanging out of her and more complications than you can imagine. And all I'd see her do is smile and be precious, and people loved her at first sight. Never once, not an overstatement, never once did I hear my mother complain about her condition. Never. All she did was love us. Laugh like she was so silly. I'd get her laughing. I never heard her say, oh, this stupid disease in my body, and I don't know why, and how long do I got to put up? Guess what was happening at her funeral? 3 nursing staff standing there, 3 doctors, and 1's director of doctors of our city hospital. You don't have the schedule to stand at your patients' funerals. But he was there. And I looked around the room and I said, I just want to thank you all for coming on behalf of my family. And I'm not standing here as a pastor, I'm standing here as a son. And I'm looking at the faces and I'm recognizing people, and I know why you're here. Because of the honor you have for the woman named Kay. And the nurses instantly are crying. And I said, and you think she was a once-in-a-lifetime patient and a one-in-a-million. But let me tell you the truth behind my mother and why she was the way she was. Because you could not not love her. And now the nurses are really bawling. And I just shared why she was like that. Come on, guys. Some of us have a headache for an hour and we have lost our disposition. Some of us, our cell phone battery is surprisingly going dead and our life is half over. Some of us are car sputters and we go, not this, not now. I don't need this now. God. I'm not trying to condemn you. I want to sober us. This young man, Jimmy, said, you look up and you pick out one thing, because there's many. You start there and let it get big. My mom had a list like that, and it didn't look like it to you and me in the natural. The head doctor of the city hospitals came over and said, sir, thanks for doing your mother's funeral and sharing the things you shared. You have no idea the things you gave me to think about. You've got my mind spinning, man. He said, I'm taking a whole new sober look at life. He said, I appreciate your words. You're right about your mother. I was the one that thought she was one in a million. But I guess she doesn't have to be. I said, you got it, doctor. Eyes filled with tears. And he hugged me. Amen. That doctor that was taking care of my wife in the coma, when he said it wasn't me, I said, I know, but thanks. Eyes filled with tears. He pursued me. He initiated. He hugged me and didn't let me go. And I just held him till he released me. That's fun. So we're going to live this way. Aren't we?
Yes.
If we don't pursue living this way, then we've reduced these meetings to just the level of seed sowing. But I think we ought to get past seed sowing. And get on to 30, 60, 100 fold.
Yeah.
What do you say? Yeah. Can you stand to your feet with me? Goodness, I wasn't going to do this, but oh my goodness, I'm going to do this. No, I wasn't. I wasn't going to do this, but. This might only be for two people. I don't have a word of knowledge on the amount, but it's not for too many. Because we can take this word by faith and we can go out of this room and apply faith to these words. Do you agree? But I just heard this. I was laying down my Bible ready to just pray corporately over you guys and think, man, it was fun and I didn't see much ministry and this is what rose up in my heart. That there's a couple people standing here and you're afraid to leave because you're believing the bondage you've lived and you feel like you can't be free. And there's somebody here, you've got a practice in your life, a bondage, an addiction, you got something. I don't need you to define it. Nobody needs to know. It's none of our business except that we love you and we want you okay. But I just heard in my heart that there's just a small handful of people that even though we pray this corporate and you're revved by the word and pumped, there's this thing in your life that you feel like you gave yourself to and now it's got you. And you feel like you can't beat it. And even though you want to grow in God and love and walk in love, this thing just keeps wrecking your conscience, defiling your identity and masking your face from God. And in your heart, you believe you love God and you feel like you're not worthy of God's love because of this thing. But what you're saying is, I don't want it in my life and I do want it beat, and I don't, and I wished I never opened the door, and I wished it was gone. Now that's the sincere side that your heart needs to be in tonight. I saw a lady that trashed her whole family, the trust of her family, burned every bridge, and was so bound in heroin, her life was being destroyed. And I had a simple conversation with her for 30 seconds and watched the Spirit of God take addiction of heroin off of her. In 30 seconds. And her family said, "We don't even know this woman. This is a brand new girl." And I'm out of touch, way out of touch now. But for a long time after, I had knowledge that she had never even thought of going back and had the wonderment in her of why she was so attracted to the drug. Because it seems so far away. You can say tonight, "Jesus, I opened my life to this thing and it grabbed me. And I feel like it's a yoke around my neck. But your anointing destroys that yoke and removes the burden from thy shoulder." And if you'd be humble as we pray corporately, I personally feel like there's a faith in my heart and that God's instructed me to do this. I'm not trying to expose you. We could pray this corporately in secret. But I want you to be humble. If you feel like I'm talking to you, it's not a lot of people. Don't come up here for impartation and prayer. Don't come up here in disguise, acting like you fit so you get prayer and ministry. Let's stop that, church. You come up here because this is serious business and you mean business and you're sincere and you don't want an ounce of bondage in your life and you don't want to violate your conscience anymore. But you feel like you don't have the power to change what you feel like has a hold of you. I need to meet you right here real quick and it won't take long. Thank you, honey, for being so humble. It won't take long. Thank you. Thank you. I need you right here, please. Only if you directly fit this description. I probably got about everybody. If I'm still need you, get here quick. Thank you. Look at me, guys. I honor you. I respect you. Thank you for your honesty, your humility, and your heart cry to come down here. These people behind you, we love you. We want the best for you. No one judges you. Thanks for having the humility to come down here. There's nothing wrong with you. There's just something you've been struggling with. Your destiny's the same. Your value hasn't changed. You have history to be made with God. It's time to stop believing lies. Come on. I know when I see things. In fact, honey, it's time to stop being your own worst enemy. You think it's a lot of other things, but sometimes it's just you make it way worse than it has to be, and you've been tricked into it, and it makes sense in the moment. But later you realize it wasn't all that, but the trouble's already happened and the problem's already bad. God's going to begin to change that if you look to Him and ask Him for wisdom and begin to commune with Him and talk to Him and receive His love like no time in your life. Say out loud when nobody's looking, "Father, I believe you love me and I thank you for it." Start communing with Him and watch the freedom you begin to continue to walk in, okay? Amen. But this intimacy thing I just shared with you, it's a real big deal. Watch this. There's no veil over your face. You peel it back because you're a bride. In fact, I'll tell you what. I'm just going to give you away. Who gives this bride in marriage? I do. You have every right to be one with him. I'm telling you. So, Father, I thank you for making her free. I thank you for making her whole. And I thank you compulsion and deception will no longer be the rule of her life. You leave her, you loose her, you let her go now. Clarity, wisdom, and understanding, Father, and the great awareness of your love. Father, I thank you that tonight is the marker in her life of change, of increase, of joy. I thank you. Yesterday and even up to now, I declare is no more. Every chain you break off of her. In Jesus' name. Amen. Just stand here with us. I just picked on you because I love you and I saw you during this service and I just wanted to love on you. I was so glad when you ran down here. I never saw this before. I never did this before. I want you guys to hold hands. I want you to realize you're in the same family. You're in this together and we're believing the same thing. I never did this before, but this, I just saw you all holding hands. Is that okay? Stretch your hands to these guys. And you begin from your heart to pray and bless them and love them and speak life over them. As God speaks to you, you speak it out. It's all before the Lord. You go ahead and hold her hand, honey. I'm going to pray over you guys right now, okay? But I want you to do something with me first. I want you to pray with me first and pray out loud. It'll be your heart. You won't be a puppet or a power. It'll be your heart, I promise, because you're here. Say this. Say, Father, I'm here to receive your love. And I believe you love me because Jesus came, died, and rose again. I open my life to something, Lord, and I feel like it's grabbed me. I want to be free. I feel like I can't be free, but I know I can because you love me. So, Holy Spirit, come into me now and come upon me now. I trust you to break every chain. Lord Jesus, you're the Christ, the Anointed One. You make me free because you love me. In Jesus' name. Now speak freedom over them, church, right now. Father, I bless them. And I just touch them lightly and quickly and thank you that you do this work. Let their souls and emotions be restored. Let intimacy be possible, more than possible with you. And let them not live defiled and let them not live deceived and let them not live under the stronghold of bondage. In the authority of Jesus' name, you all be free. In the authority of Jesus' name, you all live free. You grow in the revelation of the knowledge of Him. Dude, did you come from upstairs?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thanks for making the walk. It was important.
Yes. Yes, it was.
As I stood beside you, I felt your sincerity. I felt like, man, you walk down here and you mean this. I mean, they all do, but I'm drawing attention to you because I felt like God's getting the attention of your heart in this season in a fresh way. Take heed to it. Let God father you, son. I feel like there was a season in your life you felt like God was speaking to you and you feel like you could have heeded better and in time you almost stopped listening or turned it off. I'm not sure what happened there, but I see that season in your life. Does that make sense? Do you relate to that?
Yeah, completely.
Well, God's saying, listen, I didn't turn away from you and I didn't change my mind about you and I didn't stop speaking to you and I never stopped loving you. So let's pick up where we left off, and let's go on. That's what I hear. And don't let anything talk you out of it this time.
Amen.
Because I love you. Bless you for coming. Touch him, Lord Jesus. Restore his mind, his emotions. Quicken him. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you. Quicken him, Lord, his emotions, his mind, his thought patterns. Yeah. Go deeper. More. More, Lord. Yes. Cause him to be so alive in you. Cause him to be so full of hope in you. To see. Let him say out of his lips, day after day, I see. I get it. I see it. You are for me. You love me. We can do this. My life is important. I'm telling you, I'm declaring this, nothing's going to beat you down again. God's going to give you strength to stand. Even some of the lies you believed that allowed you to be beat down are going to look different from now on. I believe because you walked up here, God's going to intervene and show you an amazing grace to stand and be. And I feel like he's quickening your mind and your emotions. And in any way you feel like you'd have damaged them or in any way that you feel like after effects of medicines or whatever I'm hearing like that, like if something affected you and stole something, I'm telling you it's being restored. You're lacking nothing. It's the Father's good pleasure, son, to give you the kingdom. And he doesn't ever want you to fear. I bless you and say, be free. In Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. Yeah. Complete freedom. He loves you. Complete freedom. In Jesus' name. Not one chain remain. Thanks, God. Now all of you and everyone together, let's just lift our hands before we leave. Come on, let's lift our hands, all of us, please. It's a sign of yielding to Him. That's all it is. It's the clay saying, you're the potter, man. Just thanks for continuing to mold me and shape me. I love you. Some people say it's like a child raising their arms to be picked up by daddy. I like that. That's intimate. But the true symbol of raising your hands is just lifting holy hands to God, yielding and acknowledging that you have access to Him and He accepts you. So Father, thank you for loving us tonight. Thank you for bringing great change in this circle of folks up here. Thank you that they're no different than we. We all needed the blood. And we've all been saved. And we're all being empowered to do your will. We're not taking your gospel lightly. We're not giving to compromise. We're not making excuses. We're trusting your grace and we're giving our hearts to you and our lives. And we thank you for the change you've brought to us. Thank you for healings this weekend. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for freedom. We love you, Jesus. And we thank you for who you are and all you've done and given. And thank you for who you've allowed us to be in your presence. I bless this house. I bless this leadership. And I thank you that you're doing something awesome in Klamath Falls. And I thank you as you do something awesome in your people. It has to be something awesome abroad. So we rejoice in you and say thank you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Come on, just rejoice in Him. If you got anything you want to close, just close. I love you guys. You can make your way back to your seat. Thank Jesus. Trust Jesus. Walk out of here by faith. Amen. Hey, young lady. Yeah, you. Just hug me. I love you. Thanks for coming down here. You're not going to do me a favor by doing this. Do yourself a favor tonight.
Been set free.